This is an audio recording taken from the Daru Advocacy Sector Conversations Forum held on the 5th of June 2014 at the Queen Victoria Women's Centre.
Thank you, everybody. I hope you enjoyed lunch. We received quite a few comments from people about how lovely the food is. If you are interested in organising events and you need a caterer, I highly recommend Sorghum Sisters. They're a social enterprise, so we like supporting the community sector. On the catering table, there are some flyers for Sorghum Sisters if you are wanting to consider them for your future catering needs. Let's move on to the next part of our forum. It's my pleasure now to introduce to you, I'll actually leave it to Sue Smith to introduce her, the whole panel. Sue Smith, the coordinator of SARU, is standing in for Dale Reddick from G'day, Gippsland Disability Advocacy Information Services. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Sue/Dale.
Thanks, Robin. And yes, I am Dale, standing in from Gippsland Disability Advocacy. And if we're all a bit wobbly, it's because we've really just rushed to pull this together and we did all our planning over lunch. So forgive us. But we are here to talk about something that is very dear to my heart, and I'm sure Dale's as well. That's why I think he suggested this session, didn't he, Robin? Was he? Yeah. Which is advocacy and self-advocacy working together. But I thought I would start with a fantastic quote. When I go to write submissions, I love to put quotes in from people who can say things way better than myself. And I came across this one, and I think it just sums it up. Self-advocacy contributes to the knowledge, experience and wisdom that individuals, organisations and governments must have in order to respond effectively to the needs and aspiration of people with intellectual disabilities. I'll just stop there. In America, nearly 100% of the self-advocacy groups are run by and for people with intellectual disabilities. However, that's not the case here in Victoria. People must therefore have opportunities to participate in all matters pertaining to learning, planning, advocacy, policy making and governing. To promote participation, all concerned must support the important and continually growing role that self-advocacy groups play in developing leadership, increasing people's pride, influence and opportunities. It's a great paper. If you get a chance to Google the ARC in America, it's a position statement on self-advocacy, and it goes on to give points about what organisations can do to ensure that self-advocacy groups and self-advocates have that say. So I thought it was a great starting point in talking about building partnerships and why building partnerships with self-advocacy groups is vital. But I would like to start with New Wave first, and I'll introduce you to the panel here. This is Glyn Evans, who is the manager of the Assist Outreach Program in DHS and a long-term supporter of self-advocacy. Andrew Maurice, who is the leader of New Wave Self-Advocacy Group based in Gippsland, and Ash Lear, who is one of the newer members of New Wave Self-Advocacy Group. And I'll start with the launch of New Wave.
Actually,
yes.
Have to access Melbourne and park area, she's using public transport. Ella had to do that, Kevin before, so she's scary to the rest of it. We pretty much do a white collar broken now, being in Melbourne, wherever. So anyone need travel training? Most in the care, come and see us.
Hi, my name is Rachel. I've been involved with advocacy for about 9 years. I have completed my self-advocacy training with Rainforce. I would very much like to thank Arthur Rogers. I was part of the group who first asked for the funding for the centre. After listening to what I had to say, he made me feel valued and important. Thanks again, Arthur Rogers.
Thank you, Matt Marshall. Self-advocacy has changed my life. It makes my life better. Sean, what I've discovered with self-advocacy is like, how can we be heard if no one's listening? With this in mind, I've been listening and helping others in residential units and giving them a second chance in life.
So that was the launch of New Wave, how many years ago now?
Since
2009. So pretty dramatic changes and amazing things along the way. But I'm just going to go back to my passion and what brought to me the passion about advocacy and self-advocacy working together and how the benefits are two-way. When I first started working at SARU, often I'd feel like I was contacting people to talk about self-advocacy and everyone's stretched and they're like, you're not going to walk into our office and give us more work to do, are you? And I wanted to try and get the message that actually it's a two-way thing that benefits everybody. But for me, it really came to the fore. I worked, supported setting up self-advocacy rights and advocacy centre in the grounds of an institution in Janefield. And when it was going through the closures, at that time it was happening with Sunbury, Kalula, in the media there was so many letters to the paper for people that were around there. It was such a hot topic on talkback radio, everything. And the voices you heard were the families and the advocacy services. And there was a voice missing. And within doing self-advocacy within the institution, we did a survey of 110 people living there and 109 said, we want out. Now, that voice was powerful, and if advocacy had worked with the self-advocates, it would have been a much stronger voice because everyone was talking about what they thought was best for the people, but the voice of the people living there wasn't on there. And that's why I think that was my opening up of that need for partnership and working together. But I thought for some people here, you might not have an awareness. When we're talking about self-advocacy here today, we are talking about individual self-advocacy, but we're very much talking about self-advocacy groups and self-advocacy as a movement. I'll turn into Dale now and see if I can drive this properly. And we're talking about a movement that over the years has empowered people, significantly improved services, made a difference, many things we take for granted today. The campaign to close institutions was really driven by self-advocates, plain English, less jargon, and to build communities. But it has a very long history. It started in the late 60s, early 70s in Sweden, and it really came out at the same time as the civil rights movements, women civil rights movements, you know, African-American civil rights. And from what I can piece together reading the history, there was a conference for families with children, adult children, predominantly with intellectual disability, and at that conference, the people with intellectual disability started saying, well, we want our own thing. And then I can't find the history, but all of a sudden, within about 3 or 4 years later, there's a international self-advocacy conference happening in America. So it spread like Wi-Fi. It was an idea whose time had come, and it really was a civil rights movement, a self-advocacy movement. And, you know, all the things, nothing about me without me, label jars, not people, these were all things that happened. And today, is it going to work for me? Yes. There's self-advocacy groups all around the world, all through America. They're called People First groups in America, where people first, disabled second. They have national bodies, Canada, England, all through Japan, Malaysia, African countries, New Zealand, and of course Australia. This is a very potted history because we want to really get to the partnership stuff. But I thought it's important that you know the background to what it's about. And so in Victoria, self-advocacy was really strong in the 80s, and it really was driven by people that were coming out of institutions and that had a common goal to close institutions. At some of the demonstrations there on the steps of Parliament during the 80s I was at, and we supported self-advocates who were currently living in the institution to be there campaigning to close institutions, which I thought was phenomenal. So it had a strong history in Victoria. During the 90s, funding disappeared and self-advocacy, I call it a boom-bust cycle. Everyone goes, that's a great idea, this self-advocacy group thing. We should engage with them, support them. Oh, what are we doing funding them? And it goes. So it went from very strong to decimated, really. But today, it's growing. And so here are just the names of some of the groups that currently exist in Victoria, and they're all over Victoria, from Deafblind Victorian Self-Advocacy Group, groups in Shepparton, Stawell, groups Brain Injury Matters, who yesterday won a highly commended in the, Disability Awards? Yeah. So groups all over Victoria, and groups doing amazing projects. I mean, I think people would be quite surprised to hear the sorts of projects and things that groups work on. And they're all volunteers is the really key important thing to know. They're all volunteers. You know, you've Deafblind Victorians are producing a video about the needs of people who are deafblind and about the experiences to build communities. Met with Julia Gillard to talk about those issues. New Horizons doing a campaign, anti-bullying campaign. Speaking at forums, advising governments, sitting on panels, making videos about You Did Not Include Me, how do people can be included in conferences and forums and on boards, particularly for people with intellectual disability, how this can be included, working in partnership with huge amounts of organisations. So the depth of the work that self-advocacy groups are doing across Victoria is pretty phenomenal, and New Wave is one of those important groups in that. So I'm going to introduce you now to New Wave, who is really one of the best models of building partnerships in a region that I've seen, and it's just been really fantastic to watch that develop and grow. But I'm going to start by asking each person, why is self-advocacy important to you? And I'll start with you, Ash. And you said something that shocked me at lunchtime about advocacy. Do you want to tell everybody what was the thing you said?
Can you just do a mic thing? Push the button, I think, Ash.
Is it on?
No?
Yeah,
you're on. You're on TV.
Well, I used to hate advocacy about when it first started. I used to study it, I used to hate it, I used to think it was boring, I used to think it was a load of rubbish.
And what changed?
Then I got to go to New Wave and see for myself how it was really like. I thought, yeah, I don't think it's so boring anymore. And now they can't get rid of me.
And why does self-advocacy matter to you, Ash?
So everyone can find their voice and speak up about their rights in the community.
That's great. And you talked about being in a square. Did you want to talk about that?
I used to be in the box.
In the box.
I used to be afraid of everyone. I used to be afraid of public speaking.
So why is it important, self-advocacy?
I think it's important for me to speak up for my rights and have my word out there, what I really think of situations that happen every day.
Thanks, Ash. Thank you. Andrew, you were one of the early members of New Wave from the very start. How did you become involved in New Wave?
Hello.
Try this one. It's going?
Yeah. Hi. As I said, I've been recruited by Gwen Evans. I think she's seen some in me. I went back to think about it, and as I said, I was in another group called the Western Port Sound Sea in Frankston. I also got recruited from there. Well, it was my first one. Then I left the Western Port, then done my own thing. Then when I got back and got recruited by Gwen, I missed it, then I decided to join New Wave.
And why is self-advocacy important to you? Why does it matter to you? Why do you think it should matter to everyone?
As I said, people with a disability need their voice to be heard, and the government and all the any government suppliers who actually need for people to understand, with people with disability to have their voice and to be heard as equals.
Thanks, Andrew. And I'm coming to you, Glenn, so I don't think you're out of the question yet. No. I first got involved with New Wave when I first started at SARU, and I'd heard about Reinforce had done this training down in Gippsland, their self-advocacy training, and there'd been this long history that ASSIST, which is the outreach program in DHS, had been encouraging people to advocate for themselves. And I went along to the first meeting, and around the table were DHS, Rural Access, the Advocacy Service, key players, the self-advocates interested, Reinforce, SARU. From the beginning, you saw this model, which we now, as SARU, go out and hold up as like one of the best models for supporting self-advocacy and building partnerships. From the start, this was happening. So, Glenn, I want to ask you, why was it important for you to have so many people involved in the start and to have advocacy services, the local advocacy service, Rural Access, all of that involved in the beginning of New Wave?
Am I on? Yes? Okay. I think it's important that when people start to become empowered, and really self-advocacy is empowerment, it's confidence, it's knowledge, it's actually knowing your rights. So self-advocacy is all of those things. And when people start to develop that knowledge and start to speak up for themselves, I think everybody needs to hear what they've got to say. And the fact that we're involved with those services in the early stages, I think they actually feel part of what we've developed today, and they are part of. You know, we still have Rural Access at the advocacy meetings. We have 4 meetings a year, and we will often have between 30 and 70 people at those meetings, including Rural Access, Centre Against Sexual Assault, Women with Disabilities, G'day, of course, they're always there, teachers, police, any number of services within the community. So these guys now are actually speaking to them, and they're utilising the service, including the police, I might add. We're actually doing a presentation to them in the near future about how to actually work with people with a disability, and they've asked us to do that. So that's, you know, played a really major role, I think, in these guys developing the skills that they've developed along the way.
And I'll talk about it a bit later, but it's certainly a model now when through SARU, taking off my Dale hat, we go out and work in areas that are interested in setting up a self-advocacy. That model of having everybody on board at the very beginning is really important, because
as I said, I'll talk later, there's really two-way benefits for everyone engaged with self-advocacy groups, for the groups and for the people that partner with them. And if everyone's on board at the start, then everyone's going on the same journey. Everyone's aware of it and everyone sees opportunities, which I'll talk about when I talk about some of the other partnerships that are happening around the state. But putting my Dale back, hat back on, a while ago I was doing a review because I thought the model and the way that New Wave started and the amazing role they play within Gippsland, they work... Like, the list of stuff that New Wave does is huge, like speaking at forums, sitting on advisory groups. Andrew, you're on the Disability Advisory Council for the City of Trove, is that right?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Informing DHS, members of the group sit on interview panels for the employment of DHS staff. And advisory groups, the partnerships are endless, and the benefits, as I said, are two-way. So when I was doing a review of New Wave and talking about to all these people about, well, what is it that is this is working so brilliantly in Gippsland? And Jen from Gippsland Disability Advocacy talked about the two-way benefit that it linked Gippsland Disability Advocacy to issues that people were having that they might necessarily not have come across in their day-to-day work as an advocacy service, issues from community residential units, issues that they weren't aware of. So that was a really important thing for them. The involvement in self-advocates in their self-assessment for audits was a real benefit, they said, for in being involved in the service. And it must be said that you've got an office in Gippsland Disability Advocacy building, haven't you?
Yep. Yeah, we have.
And co-presenting with New Wave, self-advocates partnering with them to co-present at forums has been invaluable. And they said also the quality improvement strategies for G'day, in having the members of New Wave as a partner on their consumer group, they were able to provide G'day with true feedback to assist them to improve the work they do. And they also said, which we'll talk about in a minute, that New Wave goes out into CRUs and promotes the rights. They work closely with people living in community residential units and they promote the rights and self-advocacy for people living in community residential units. And that through that, that the people living there are able to engage with New Wave and share experiences and get information. So she said that that was really powerful, that residents have been empowered to speak out about their own situations, which is fantastic for the work of advocacy. Andrew and Ash, Andrew, you've got an office in Gippsland Disability Advocacy offices. They give you an office, is that right?
Yeah, it's Oakham Avenue in Moore, and we are on Monday and Thursday from 9:30 to 3:30, committed. And hopefully we can get more hours up, or if we can get people coming in more often, then we could expand.
And why is it good working closely with, Andrew, why is it good working closely with Gippsland Disability Advocacy?
Because we... as people partners, we take ideas from them, then they ask us some ideas, and so sort of a, if we, she they don't know if any answers what we know, we can give that to them, and we can get, and it's go the same back to us. If we don't know anything, we can learn from them as well.
Thanks, Andrew. And you have been going into group homes, haven't you? Do you want to say about that? Why is it important that you do that work?
In that work, we have to have give them some advice to improve their homes and make sure their homes are more comfortable to live in, with, and also work with the staff as well.
And what do you do with the staff? What are you trying to do when you're working with the staff?
I'm trying to work with the staff to make sure they know what people in their own homes know what they want in their homes, and be fair as a disabled person.
Thanks, Andrew. And Ash, do you work in the office at New Wave's office at Gippsland Disability Advocacy?
Yes, every Thursday.
And why do you think it's, why is it important to you that New Wave work closely with Gippsland Disability Advocacy?
We can give each other support. But if we have a phone number like the Disability Services Commissioner and they don't have it, we can give it to them.
And is it good to have an office of your own for New Wave?
I think it is, so we get our space if we get our clients, or maybe that's what you call it.
And, Glyn, why is the partnership with New Wave and Gippsland Disability Advocacy, why do you think it's important, and having the office as well?
Pretty much as the guys, as Ash and Andrew have just said, they work in partnership, so they support one another. And there are obviously issues that arise that New Wave would need some support with around advocacy. So they've got Jen and Dale there on board and they can speak with them.
And I remember once, Andrew, you talked to me about how you have a sense that there's people come to you with issues and you know the issues that you can't deal with that they need an advocate for, and then you'll recommend that they go to Gippsland Disability Advocacy as well and they can help them.
Yeah, I said when they do come up to me and they have issues or may not understand and that, I tell them I'm working today and I can advise you guys to come up, you know, and we'll come to, you know, with you, Wave, and we can both have a chat to you guys, and never know, we can solve the problems you may be facing in the community.
Thanks, Andrew. I'm going to talk a little bit about some other examples around Victoria where advocacy and self-advocacy works together. And as I said, this was a last-minute pull together. So I rang Pauline from AMIDA because AMIDA, Action for More Independence and Dignity in Accommodation, have a really long history. A percentage of their work is around self-advocacy. So I rang to say, can you give me some points about why you think it's important? And she actually told me something I never knew, that AMIDA actually grew out from a self-advocacy group. It was reinforced who were us at a housing conference, and out of that, the need for AMIDA came. So they actually, their original roots go back to the wishes of self-advocacy groups. So from AMIDA, Pauline was saying that the big one is that they jointly work on systemic issues. And one of the ways they do that is they've been running for 25 years, I think, a very long time, jointly running with a self-advocacy group, the 3CR radio show Raising Our Voices. And through Raising Our Voices, they raise a lot of systemic issues and they work together to raise these issues. They also said, very similar to what Jen said at Gippsland, that it introduces them, working closely with self-advocacy groups, introduces them to issues and problems having out there that they might not have come across before. So for Pauline gave the example when many of the people in Reinforce are in public housing, a letter went out that people were upset about and didn't understand. They brought it to AMIDA, who realised that, well, it's not in plain English, it's not accessible, people are struggling with this. So it was an issue that came to them through self-advocacy that they were able to work on. They develop training around housing rights and they use peer trainers, experienced self-advocates as peer trainers to go out and do that training, because I think most of us would all agree, and I think Andrew you would say too, that for people living in the house, learning things and hearing the voice of other people who have disabilities is much stronger than, say, just a trainer without a disability coming in. Do you think they listen and respect it more?
Yeah, I think they do. I said they speak to, I said, myself or any other member of the New Wave. They know we are on the same page, hopefully, and we can help them out as much as they want until they need us.
Thanks, Andrew.
She also said that sometimes, you know, you might have someone that you've been working with for many, many years and you don't know how some of the issues they're facing, how to move it forward. Their connection with self-advocacy means that they can often open up the pathway for people suggesting that they join groups so that then they then to start to develop their own peer support networks and work on issues with their peers rather than being dependent long-term on an advocacy service. And AMIDA recently went through their audit with the federal government and they identified that one of the real strengths of AMIDA was the involvement of people with disability in the systemic issues and that they voiced the lived experience. And she was saying the audit team also uncovered a strength that they hadn't put up as something. They identified a strength that AMIDA wasn't aware of was the use of plain English for all the information that they developed, which engaged people with intellectual disabilities in systemic issues and at all levels of the organisation. So AMIDA has had a very long... And AMIDA is the lead agency for the SARU, so there's another example of their commitment to self-advocacy. So recently, Grampians Disability Advocacy, which I saw we got someone from... was interested in supporting a self-advocacy group to start in their region. And we really used the wonderful model that New Wave did. When I went and talked to Grampians Disability Advocacy, I went along with a self-advocate and we talked about, well, if you are going to start one, let's bring together everyone. Let's create the pathways for people to have a voice and to make a real difference. So from the very beginning, they had rural access at the table, themselves, the advocacy service, the community health centre, a whole range of people being aware that this group is happening. Because if groups just tick a box, oh, we'll do self-advocacy group once a month, and there's no pathway and support, then it's just not going to work. So that led to Sister Rock self-advocacy group in store, which is just coming into its second year of operation. The first year, groups are very fragile. They're just starting to get a sense of who they are. But now Sister Rock's rural access is like, oh, we'll go, we need someone to help run the Snakes and Ladders education thing we're doing, and they're looking to Sister Rocks to co-run that. They're starting to look at is very similar to New Wave. Well, what are the issues we face in store? One of them is bullying and intimidation. Let's get the police out. We'll tell the police what the issues are and hear about the support. So they're just now starting to look at issues and ways forward. And the Community Health Centre provides a meeting space. Debbie Vierden supports their meetings. But looking at a way forward, and that's an example of a fantastic partnership. Recently, one of the things when SARU talks about it's the importance of building groups that are going to be able to continue to live on in the long term, and that if funding were to go or SARU were to go, they wouldn't just all fall over, which is what happened in the 90s. So part of it is supporting these partnerships to develop, like G'day can provide a meeting room, the local community health centre can provide a meeting room, and pathways, real partnerships, real equality. And in an evaluation we recently had done by Paul Ramtran, he identified finding self-advocacy champions in areas. And the champions are not just this is good, but if someone's talking about, oh, we're going to set up a committee or advisory group, it's about, well, why don't you get a self-advocate on that? If you're talking about training, why don't you do self-advocacy? So Roz Nam from DHS in the, what is it now? Hume, was really, from when she first heard about SARU and self-advocacy, a champion of self-advocacy, and she wanted a group in the area. She identified the area had nothing, so she, after many years, got some funding, which she then engaged REAC to be involved in the project with this money, and again, from the very beginning, they pulled together around the table rural access, people from the different services, REAC, DHS, SARU, self-advocates, and looked at how to set up groups within that region. And out of that, after a lot of planning, and again, I can't emphasise strongly enough how important these partnerships are for everybody involved and also for the long-term sustainability of groups, the Shepparton Rainbow Self-Advocacy Group formed.
And there they are at their first... Well, they did the reinforced self-advocacy training and that's their graduation there. And I think already I just... listening to the meetings and the things that they're happening, again, that issue of being connected, people are raising issues. And because they meet at the REAC, those issues are going straight through to the advocates and they're starting to work on some of those issues. And it still continues. We're still continuing. We're currently working with Southern Advocacy. I think that's what they're called. I'm not sure. Down the Frankston Way, on the Frankston Line, looking at supporting people with an acquired brain injury who live in sort of like a cluster of units to set up a self-advocacy group. And again, from that, from the start, people, Advocate from Leadership Plus is involved. We'll look at involving the Metro Access worker, the people who live there are engaged from the very beginning, talking about why they want a group. We're also working again with REAC through the funding through DHS to look at setting up a self-advocacy group in Alexandra because there's big areas where they're not there. So again, from my perspective, they're just vital and partnerships and working together, it's just... If I had the time to go through the depth of the project that these amazing volunteers do, you really do see that they are about empowering individuals and changing services and building communities. But it's, we've talked a lot about advocacy and partnership, and I'm going to throw to Glyn again. Oh, there's the whole montage of New Wave up on the board there. About from DHS's perspective, and I mean DHS provides their empty office on every second Sunday for the New Wave meetings, but it's not just that. From your perspective, how has being involved in self-advocacy changed DHS from your point of view?
I think it's actually put DHS in a different light. Through self-advocacy, I see that people don't think as poorly of DHS as they often did. That's true. Sorry if there's anyone in the room who's offended. I don't think there's any other DHS members here. But if there are, okay, that's okay. I think we've made a big change there. You know, people actually speak quite highly of DHS and the work that New Wave have done. We're actually taking advantage of them now. Initially, many years ago, we had to put a lot of effort and work into building their confidence, their trust, their knowledge, their ability, their presentation skills. The list goes on. I could talk for hours, Andrew. Stop looking at me like that. But the pendulum swung. They're now actually providing support to others who receive our service. They do literally do travel training. They run the H Human Relations Women's Group. They run the Human Relations Men's Group. They provide self-esteem education to other members of our service. And I hope this doesn't offend anyone. I don't know that Andrew even knows. He's actually providing travel training for somebody to go and access a sex worker. And I'd actually like to highlight that because he doesn't know I know, and it's a reflection of his confidentiality. And that's such a powerful part of these groups as well, that people have developed a professional attitude, and we're very, very proud of them. And they're actually running our service now, so see you all later.
And Glyn, you talked about how before your engagement in self-advocacy, you thought you knew what people wanted, you were saying, and it turned out not to be the case.
Do you have to bring that up? So I have to talk about being a dictator again, do I? Look, I think probably most of us actually worked that way many years ago. If we got a referral and somebody needed to do a budgeting program, or we thought they needed to do a budgeting program, we developed the budget, we actually dictated how much money they needed to save, etc., etc. But that's actually changed now to where we listen to people, and they now have the confidence to say, I don't actually want a budget, I'd rather go out and buy half a dozen cans of scotch and a packet of smokes. So We respect that now. We may provide education, but we're no longer dictators.
Thanks, Glyn. So we're going to just finish with New Wave and then go to questions. So I'd like to ask each person there what you'd like to say to the people in the audience about why they should work with self-advocacy groups and why it's important. I'll start with you, Ash.
I think if New Wave can help the CIS team, they can help anyone.
And do you think other self-advocacy groups in other regions can do the same in...
I think they can if they get the confidence, and I think they can do it. I think you can do anything if you set your mind to it.
Thanks, Ash. Andrew, why do you think that people here should think about working with self-advocacy groups? Why it's a good thing?
Yes, that if the people with disability, they know what they want, and if they want it, they want to ask people in their own community, in Green Gardens, where they are, either in the state or anywhere else.
Thanks, Andrew. And Glyn, why do you think it's important that people work with self-advocacy groups, that all organisations work with self-advocacy groups?
Should I turn my microphone on, like these two have got theirs on? Look...
Turn it the other way. That's actually off.
Oh, that's off, is it? Yeah, oh, great. Off. I'm learning. Look, when we're providing a service to people, we need to actually provide the service that the people want. So if we're not listening, we're not providing the correct service. And once people have the confidence and the ability to speak up about what they want, then it's pretty simple to provide the service that they're actually asking for.
Thanks, Glyn. And I guess it brings us back to... doesn't bring us back to that. Brings us back to that statement. Really, the importance and the depth of knowledge and the importance of engagement with self-advocacy groups at all levels of government and policy making and decision making, it's vital. If anyone wants to look this up, if you Google the ARC, self-advocacy, they not only talk about what the issues are and why it's important, but they also list about what needs to happen to support, to ensure individual and group self-advocacy has real meaningful input and works in partnerships. So I guess it's now over to question time. And thank you to New Wave.
It's Robin here, so if you have a question, please raise your hand and Ty or I will come over and give you the microphone. When you get the microphone, remember to say your name and what organisation you're from. So any hands up? Well, a room of advocates without questions. Okay, is that Mark? Where are you?
Thank you. Mark Tregan, Office of the Public Advocate. I'm also a community visitor. Just wondering, when your visits to group homes, just wondering how that goes. Like, I go into group homes as a community visitor and I've got a particular role, a statutory role as a community visitor. So there's certain things that... I have to do by law. I'm just wondering how it goes for you because you're operating in a more free agent kind of way.
We go in and we meet the clients and the staff, and we normally go in and just have a chat at first. Then, if they wanted to us to come back, we just make a time and day and so on. If they want to have more, and then we keep on going until they get that what they want in their own homes.
And Andrew, you also supported some of the people in some of their houses to run their own house meetings without the staff there too. That was something you did as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, we told just like on the meetings we normally have four times normally get the staff to leave the room or go out of our meetings, and we discuss issues what the people in their homes want to discuss.
And also some of the people from the houses then joined New Wave, didn't they, and started actually being involved in the self-advocacy group.
Yeah, they come on Sundays and they enjoyed the Sunday programs we have discussions with, and they get involved with our workplace.
And I remember when I went down and was filming you and talking about, was it scary, a bit like what Mark, I think, was it scary when you first went into the houses with the staff and everything? Were you nervous?
Well, I said, I have been around, and wasn't at first, but I said, got used to being involved with the people in the CIUs. And I said, got along quite well. I said, I've been a strong person probably from the beginning when I knew I had rights, and I just learned from my experience.
Thanks, Andrew. I remember one of the best lines ever when we were Michael went and made the film, and he was trying to make a film about people being able to make complaints in group homes, and you asked, for example, if the person's TV in the bedroom next to you, would you complain about that if it was too loud? Is that the sort of thing? I've forgotten who it was, he went, no, I wouldn't complain about that. And you asked, why not? He said, because he hasn't got a telly in his room. Which made it into the film.
Sue, it's Robin. I've got a question, a statement, and then a question for Ash. Sue, when you mentioned that you worked at Janefield, and I was pretty amazed to hear that statistic that 109 out of 110 people, when asked, said that they'd like to leave Janefield. Well, here's a bit of disclosure. I lived in Mundurra back in the 70s as a child, and we played in the foundations of Janefield being built. And then I was there when it was, dissembled. And I was looking for the chalk marks that I made as a kid on the concrete foundations, but I couldn't find them. So it's amazing that in my lifetime, and I'm older, but I'm not old, that I could see an institution be built and, destroyed over a 30-year period. So that's an amazing testament to the work of self-advocacy.
Can I just say, too, that what interests me about when we asked that, there's a lot of things that you hear about when institutions are closing that people say, we have to be very careful, people have lived there their whole lives, they're going to be traumatised by this. This survey proved the exact opposite. And people were saying, we know there's a better world out there and we want it. We had a little video we made that said Janefield's going to be knocked down, and people cheered and clapped and stamped their feet. So it's that presumption that everybody else has if you don't talk to the person who's living the experience of living there. So,
interesting comment. My question to you, Ash, you mentioned that one of the things that you do when you're working with your self-advocacy groups is, an example you used was talking about the Disability Service Commission giving their phone number if people didn't know about them. Last time I went to the Disability Services Commission, I got handed this fantastic show bag, and on the outside it had written, it's okay to complain. And I learned that they run information sessions for people across Victoria. Have New Wave or the self-advocates that you work with, have you had that training, and can you comment on that?
No, I haven't, but I wouldn't mind one day.
And I think a long time ago, probably before you came on board, Ash, New Wave held a big self-advocacy forum in Gippsland, and people had stands, and I think the Disability Services Commissioner was there and presented too. So that was a self-advocacy run. Remember the big forum? Yeah.
Do we have any questions?
Anthony Giles Peters, Disability Resources Centre. This is probably more a comment, and perhaps a little bit of history. Back in the early 1980s, the Disability Resources Centre actually helped reinforce, establish itself, And we had quite a close partnership for a number of years with Rainforce. This was a little bit before my time. Now we've got an actual action group out in the southeast, which includes all sorts of people with various disabilities, including intellectual and ABI. But we haven't got a close partnership with a so-called self-advocacy group, although the DRC, in a way, considers ourselves self-advocates because all of our management and staff have disabilities. However, this has been very thought-provoking because it reminds me of the value of that such partnerships, and there are various reasons, I suppose, why we haven't got such a close working relationship with self-advocacy, partly being the pressures of running the organisation and just doing all the work you have to do, and also the requirements of a service agreement, etc. But it's certainly a session that's got me thinking again. I think it's been very valuable, and I thank you all for presenting it.